Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle. Welcome and back. Emily is distracted.
I'm thumbs downing does this message.
Oh. Who is also in the room, by the way. She's like 10 feet away. So we have our first live audience. Welcome to our podcast show. It was Sirius's gotcha day.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
We forgot to mention it on the last podcast. So you've had him for how long now? Six years? Oh,
Six years. What would you like to say?
What a gentleman. He'd like to say, give me back my fucking bone, mother.
Thank you. I am laying on top of it and you cannot have it.
Because it was just a little loud.
So I gave him a cookie that I had bought him for Christmas that I hadn't given him yet.
Yeah.
And he had like that like icing shit on it, you know?
Yeah.
The dog spent 30 minutes licking off all the ice cream or icing before he ate the fucking cookie.
Like a sociopath. What the hell?
Yeah. That's so funny. I've never seen a dog do that in my life.
He's like, hold on. I'm going to just lick this off real quick. I'm just
going to savor this icing on this cookie.
This icing's fucking delicious, Mom. Thanks.
Yep. So.
Yeah, he really wants that bone back. He's sniffing for it.
I'm sitting on it.
Okay. So. Yep. Yeah, that's
6 years.
That's the big news today. Also, it's absolutely gorgeous outside. So, yay.
Summer. Spring.
I was going to say, that's pushing it a little bit.
When is the first day of spring?
March 20th, because Taylor Havlicious' birthday is that day.
Oh,
and Havlicious is not her last name anywhere, so I don't know what it is. But
cool.
It's her birthday, and that's how I always remember. So, all right, are you ready for my story?
Mm-hmm.
So 10 days. I don't know if you're ready for it. All right, so this is, well, we'll just get started. So in February of 1979, Susan Borchardt was killed in a car accident. She left behind her husband, Reuben, and two young children, Brooke, who was 3, and Chuck, who was only 1. Reuben was a self-employed man who did like carpentry and stuff. So like he was very handy. He did like remodeling of houses and just kind of stuff like that. And his work as a carpenter would often bring him to a furniture manufacturing plant where he met a woman named Diane. Diane had heard about the death of Susan and stepped up to help Reuben with raising the kids and taking care of the house.
Why do I feel like Diane like killed Susan?
Oh, just wait. So she was soon living with Reuben, Brooke, and Chuck, and their relationship had turned romantic.
Of course.
By October, so February to October, Diane and Reuben were married, and Diane was already pregnant with their child.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They didn't waste any time.
No. So after their marriage, things got a little weird. Diane insisted that all traces of Susan be removed from the home. Any photos and keepsakes that had anything to do with Susan were taken down, hidden, and thrown away. So she was like, absolutely no trace of Susan in this house. She even insisted that the children, Brooke and Chuck, call her mom. And insisted that the family act as if she was Brooke and Chuck's biological mother. Family members thought that it was super weird that she'd be seemingly so jealous of Susan. And several of Reuben's friends had warned him about marrying Diane so quickly. But they kind of all believed that he was really lonely and that Diane was very manipulative and was able to kind of charm him into doing what she wanted him to do. After their baby Reagan was born, their marriage turned nasty.
Reagan is such a cute name.
The problem is, though, is I still don't know if Reagan is a boy or a girl.
I had a girl in my class named Reagan, and it was obviously a girl.
Yeah, and so but it could also be a boy, so I don't mean any offense, but I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. So, their child, Reagan, and I do like that name. So, Diane was very possessive of Reuben, but did not want to have, like, romantic relationships with him anymore.
Sidebar, I hate the name Reuben.
Poor guy.
Love the name Reagan. Hate the name Reuben. Well,
he didn't choose it. His parents did.
It's a sandwich.
It is a sandwich. You're right. But anyways.
Sorry.
No, you're good. She wouldn't like sleep with him, and they started to fight a lot, and she became emotionally and mentally abusive. Diane went back to work when Reagan started school, but this time she was working at a high school as a teacher's aide while also running a screen printing shop on the side. So before she had been working at that furniture store, now she was working at the local high school. She was a study hall monitor and bonded with the students well, particularly the boys.
Oh, no.
And the students called her Mrs. B. At home, things got even worse. Diane began physically abusing her husband during fights with Reuben over how he had done things. So if they weren't done specifically how she wanted them done, she would like flip out and like scream at him and call him stupid and like just be terrible. And she started throwing things at him and would often hit or slap him. And, you know, Reuben is bigger than she is because he's a man. Mm-hmm. And typically they're bigger than women. Yeah. And so like he didn't want to fight back, but like he would like restrain her and he would try and protect himself by like blocking her. But she would call the police claiming that he'd hit her. In 1993, Reuben met another woman who was called Judy in my source. And Judy was also in a loveless marriage. So the two grew close while talking about how shitty their relationships were and ended up starting an affair.
Of course. Not that I really blame them.
I mean, right. But like, maybe get divorced first.
I don't know. In situations like this, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not in that situation, so.
Exactly.
I guess I can't.
Can't pass judgment.
Well, I can, but I shouldn't. So, Reuben told Diane that he wanted a divorce so that he could be with Judy, and unsurprisingly, Diane flew into a rage. It got so bad that Reuben told his sister-in-law that Diane had threatened to, quote-unquote, bobbit him.
Do you know if that's Diane's sister or...
I think it's his sibling's sister. I don't think it's Diane's. Or wife, sorry. His sibling's wife. I don't think it's Diane's sister.
Okay.
I think it's his side like of the family. Or even, or it could even be Susan's sister.
That was my other question. I didn't quite
I don't know for sure, though, but I don't think it was her sister. So, you didn't react to him being threatened to be bobbited.
I don't know what that means.
Do you know who Lorena Bobbitt is?
No.
Lorena Bobbitt cut off her abusive husband's penis.
Mm.
Yeah. So Diane was threatening to do that. And he actually, Lorena Bobbitt's now ex-husband, obviously, did live after having his penis cut off. And she allegedly took it with him, if I'm remembering the story correctly, and threw it out the window of her car. And then it was found and reattached. And then he got into porn.
Oh.
It's a fucking wild ride. You need, like, it's a wild ride.
Okay.
So if you haven't heard that story.
I have not.
9 out of 10. Great story. Not great story, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
I actually it might be a Midwestern story. Oh, hell yeah. If it is, I dips.
Yeah. Although it might be more fun for me to do it since I don't.
Although then people won't get to see hear your actions.
True.
So Reuben also told his sister-in-law that he'd started sleeping in the basement and had been placing jars on the stairs as a sort of warning system.
Jesus.
Just in case Diane tried to come downstairs and kill him in his sleep. Brooke, now 18, was still in high school, but things were so bad that she ended up moving to live with a friend so she didn't have to be around Diane in the fighting. And also wouldn't have to deal with the obvious favoritism that she showed her, quote, real child, end quote, Reagan. So after Reagan was born, she like made it very clear that that was her child, and that even though she made the other two mm-hmm. call her mom, like they weren't her kids for real. So like she kind of treated them pretty shitty.
Yeah.
And which is even more heartbreaking because like I'm sure they neither of them remembered their mom, Susan, because they were both so little when she died, you know, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just so heartbreaking to have the only mom you've ever known just be kind of a shithead.
Yeah.
So, Diane started to manipulate the students at the high school, too. Specifically, a student named Doug Vest, who was 17, and then a former student who now worked at her printing shop, her screen printing shop, named Shannon Johnson, who was 19. Diane would cry in class, telling the students how Reuben was abusive and how he cheated on her, and convinced another student, who we don't have a name for, to follow Reuben around and take pictures of him with Judy to try and sway the divorce in her favor. She wanted full custody of Reagan and Chuck, even though she hadn't treated Chuck like her actual child since Reagan was born. I think she literally was doing it just to hurt Reuben. I don't think she gave two shits about Chuck. So, thankfully, in the end, this did not work out for her, and the judge gave Diane custody of Reagan, and she was awarded 2 of the family's 3 vehicles and got to keep her screen printing business. But Reuben was given his truck, custody of Chuck, and the home that he had built before he and Diane had married. Diane was ordered to leave Reuben's home by April 15th of 1994. The fights continued and got louder and more violent. And on April 1st, Diane tried to sell one of Susan's old sewing machines, but Reuben refused to let her. So obviously she called the police and claimed that he had been hitting her. Police kind of, at this point, knew what the deal was and were not, you know, they were privy to what was going on, and they were like, no, he's fucking not. Knock it off. So they told her that she needed to find somewhere else to stay for the night. So she took Reagan and the family dog and went. Do you want to guess where she went? She went to Susan's parents' house.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What the fuck?
It was over 200 miles away. And so clearly this was super weird for 2 reasons. The first being that she had always kind of hated Susan and her family. And this was the first time that she'd ever taken the family dog with them. Early in the morning on April 4th, 1994, a panicked phone call came in from Chuck to Chuck called 911 and told the operator that his father had been shot.
Oh, no.
When EMS arrived, Reuben was covered in blood and had been shot twice. The only thing he managed to say before going unconscious was, quote, 2 men, end quote. Unfortunately, Reuben died on his way to the hospital. At home, things were in a disarray. The phone line had been unplugged, and there were 2 spent shell casings from a shotgun towards the top of the stairs of the basement. So not in the main part of the house, but like on the staircase heading down. There was no sign of anything having been stolen, and there was no sign of forced entry. At first, police suspected Chuck, who owned a 410 shotgun, which matched the shell casings that were found, and he had been the only one at home with his dad at the time. He'd also told police that he hadn't heard any gunshots, only his father moaning, which police had a hard time believing until they performed an experiment, where one officer shot a 410 shotgun while the other stayed in Chuck's room with the door closed. They were surprised to find that the sound was extremely quiet, and they could believe that, like, you would sleep through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank God, because, like, poor Chuck. And then ballistics also proved that the shell casings did not come from Chuck's gun. The case went cold for about 5 months until somebody anonymously called the police and told them that Diane had offered them $20,000, her wedding ring, and 2 cars to kill Reuben. They told police that they had refused, but maybe police should talk to Doug Vest. When police brought Doug in, he denied everything. But when they asked about the payment of wedding rings, he said, quote, how do you know about the rings, end quote. Effectively busting himself.
Not super smart.
Nope. We did not think about what we were saying before we said it.
No.
So he then revealed everything. Diane had been kind of bothering him for a while about killing Reuben, and he'd felt badly for her. So when she offered him $20,000, he finally agreed. He met her at the screen printing shop where Shannon, the 19-year-old, was also present. And Diane gave him a hand-drawn map of Ruben's home, told him where the guns were, and gave him $600. Shannon then threatened that he better not rip Diane off or something bad might happen to his family. Doug then recruited some help, his friend Josh Yank, who was 16, but he also didn't really know what he was doing because these were both, like, good kids.
Yeah.
Never been in trouble or anything. And, like, Doug had been voted, like, kindest student or something like that in his school yearbook. So, like, clearly a good kid.
Yeah.
So they also brought in Doug's cousin, Mike Maldonado, who was 15. And he already had ties to criminal activity, so he knew exactly what to do. The trio drove to Milwaukee. By the way, this story is in Wisconsin. Oh. I think I forgot to mention that. They drove to Milwaukee, and Mike bought a sawed-off shotgun from a gang connection that he had. Remember, this kid is 15.
Yeah.
So that's, like, that's fucking insane to me. The trio drove back to the house where Ruben was sleeping. It was, like, early morning on the 4th now. And they couldn't find the unlocked door at first. So, like, apparently the map was kind of shitty because Diane had left the shop door unlocked for them so that they didn't have to break into the house. And they tried to break into a different door, couldn't, and then they found the right door and, like, got into the house. And then, let's see, Josh's job was to unplug the phone and deal with Chuck if he were to wake up. But after unplugging the phone, he panicked and left the house. Doug was on the verge of quitting too, but Mike wouldn't let him. The two headed to the basement where Ruben was already coming up the stairs and Mike shot him. The first shot didn't kill Ruben, just wounded him, so Mike shot him again, and then the two boys took off out of the house. They threw the gloves that they had worn out of the car window as well as the shotgun as they drove away. Diane had been assuming that she'd get an insurance payout to pay the boys, but with the ongoing investigation, she never got that money. And on September 28th, police went to the high school and arrested both Josh and Diane.
Boo.
Mike had fled to Texas, but police soon caught up with him and arrested him too.
What a shitty human being this woman is.
I know. She ruined so many lives.
Yeah.
Like, her kid's life, his kid's lives, his family's lives, all four of these teenagers' lives. Like, the collateral damage that this one woman did is just astronomical.
Yeah.
So, Josh ended up taking a plea deal, pleading no contest to second-degree intentional homicide and providing testimony against the other conspirators in exchange for the recommended sentence of 13 years. But the judge rejected the plea deal, and because of the, like, absolutely disgusting crime, he was sentenced to 18 years and was granted parole in 2006. Doug was offered the same deal, but after seeing that Josh didn't get that, he got 18 instead of 13 years, he opted to try his chances in court instead. It did not go well for him. He was convicted of first-degree intentional homicide and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 25 years. Mike was not offered a plea deal because he was the actual killer.
Yep.
He went to court where his defense was that he had been at home asleep at the time of the murder.
That's your defense?
Yeah. The jury clearly did not buy it because not a very convincing defense, honestly.
Kind of been a million other things you could have gone with.
For real. He was convicted of first-degree intentional homicide and sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole for 50 years. And then Diane tried to say that she had nothing to do with it and that it was all these guys that was... they were trying to burgle the house, but if you remember... The door was unlocked and nothing was taken.
Yeah.
So, like, police were like, no.
Nice.
Like, not stupid.
Yeah.
And then another student named Tim, who was another cousin of Doug's, came forward and testified that Diane had tried to convince him to kill Reuben with the same money, had offered him $600 off the bat, and had given him a hand-drawn map, just like Doug had gotten. And he still had that hand-drawn map. So an expert, a handwriting expert, had looked at it and was like, yeah, this is clearly Diane's handwriting. So she was convicted and received life in prison without the possibility of parole until after 45 years, which would be 2035. She still maintains her innocence to this day.
She seems like a dummy.
Yeah. If I'm going, and I'm not ever, I'm not saying I would ever ask someone to murder someone for me.
Yeah.
The first person I'm not going to go to is a fucking high schooler.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
They're dumb.
Yeah.
Like, not to be mean, because I was also once a dumb teenager, but they are dumb.
Yeah.
So, note to self, if you ever need a murder done, don't go to a child.
Yeah.
So.
Is that the story?
Yep, that's my whole story. I
pretty good.
Don't have my source, so I will list that in the episode notes, like always.
Can't believe I've never heard that one.
I know, I was shocked. I don't remember where I heard it, but it was on my list, so.
Cool. Socials, MW Madness Podcast on Instagram and Gmail, and Midwest Madness Podcast Group on Facebook. Excuse me.
Ouch. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye.